This man walked out of prison after 27 years of being innocently incarcerated. And almost all of those years, he was in silence. Deep silence, enforced silence. And he somehow was able to make conscious contact, in my estimation, with God. And he came out of that prison not with revenge and not with hatred and not with anger in his heart. He came out of that prison with forgiveness and reconciliation and nothing more in his heart. And it was through his conscious contact with God in that silence that he was able to find a way to turn what was potentially a volatile experience. War was predicted because 3 million people were telling 17 million people that they were inferior, and it just looked like a bloodbath was going to ensue. Not only in South Africa, but in all over Africa, which had been colonized and had been experiencing apartheid in just a little different form for centuries. And this one man with this visionary consciousness that I believe came about because of his experience of silence, of getting quiet. And that when we go into that silence, we experience something that is unlike anything that we experience anyplace else. Such, I think, is the power of silence, that it was really not only transformative in South Africa, but I believe that Nelson Mandela, who left a copy of his book there for me called Long Walk to Freedom and signed it personally to me, because he couldn't be there. He was up in Zimbabwe negotiating some peace between some of the tribes there, and left me a note and a signed book, which I, of course, treasure. And when I spoke in South Africa, I spoke about this, and I didn't think anybody would be there who would come to hear me speak. I had never even been to South Africa. And they were lined up around the block to get in. People of all races and descriptions in Cape Town and in Johannesburg. And I'll be going back there in a very short time to speak again. And I had a very strong sense that this person was, in his silence, discovered something that we can all discover, something about reconciliation, and something about making conscious contact with God. So, how do we pursue this silence, and why did Melville say, God's one and only voice is silence? I think it's important to understand this intellectually, and then to go about looking for ways to bring it into your life, and to understand it more deeply. God's one and only voice is silence means that God is that which is indivisible. There is no place that God is not. And you can't divide God up and say that God is on this side or God is on that side. I've often said that God isn't doing anything different now than God was doing an hour ago or 100 years ago. And God isn't doing anything different now than he will be doing 1,000 years from now. God is exclusively here and now, not elsewhere, not in heaven someplace apart from us, but here, now, and indivisible. And the word indivisible is very important, because that which is everywhere and cannot be separated or carved up is something that we have a great deal of difficulty in the world of the physical form experiencing and understanding. Because our world, the world of you listening here, is a world of dichotomies. It's a world of paradoxes. We divide everything up. I used to teach a course in metaphysics at the at St. John's University many years ago in New York. And I used to tell my students when they came in that if you could come into the room next week with just the North Pole of a magnet and no South Pole, you'll get an A in the course. And you don't even have to come back. And there was never a person who could ever bring in just the North Pole, because no matter how thin you sliced it, there was always its counterpart. There was always the South Pole. And dichotomies are just our way of being. We divide everything in the world up. The only reason we know that something called darkness exists is because of light. If there was nothing called light, we wouldn't know anything called darkness. The only reason we have a concept called up is because we have something of its reverse called down. You've never seen a person with a front who doesn't have a back. You've never seen a person with an outside who doesn't have an inside. We divide everything. Everything is in the world of the divisible. In the Bhagavad Gita, it speaks about transcending the dichotomies, figuring out a way to get past the up-down, the male-female, the good-bad, the right-wrong, the old, the new, the alive and the dead. Everything has its dichotomy. You can always find its opposites. In fact, that's how the symbolism of language is created, through having opposites. We don't know about oneness in the physical world. Everything has its counterpart, its dichotomy, except for silence.